feel just like hurt. It hurts. Ow.
Death is slowly creeping upon us as we enter our late 20s.
Is it like cold and rainy where you are right now?
No. I guess I'll just get into it. Hello and welcome back to Real Horror Show. I am your host, Samantha, and I'm joined, as always, by my host, Very Confusing Weather.
Yeah, it's cold and rainy here right now. It's 46 degrees, if you can believe it.
It was chilly here today, and the reason it was confusing is we kept getting really dark storm clouds.
Yeah, we got that here too.
But it never actually did anything, so unfortunately I can't call you by your real name tonight.
It just looked scary, but nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nice. It's okay, you haven't called me by my real name for a long time, but I'm liking the weather update thing. It's kind of cool. So,
yeah, you give us something to talk about at the top of the podcast.
Yes, and who, I mean, everybody is affected by the weather, so we can all identify with this conversation.
Yeah. You know what really gets impacted by the weather, though?
Oh, what, Sam? Tell me.
Sailing.
Oh, yeah. You telling me. Sailing.
I mean, they weren't on a sailboat, but still, they were on a boat.
Weather does affect big boats as well as little ones, you know?
Yeah. Ghost Ship is a 2002 American-Australian horror film directed by Steve Beck and starring an ensemble cast featuring Gabriel Byrne, Juliana...
Gabriel Byrne.
Do you want to pronounce the actress's name too for me?
Juliana Margulies. Can't you talk, Sam?
Ron Eldard, Desmond Harrington, Isaiah Washington, and Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
That one I'm just fucking with you.
Everybody knows Carl Urban these days because he really came up after this movie.
Did he?
Oh, he sure did.
The film follows a marine salvage crew on the Bering Sea who discover a mysterious ocean liner that disappeared in 1962. The film was shot in Queensland, Australia, and Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and released theatrically in North America on October 25th, 2002. It earned an excess of $68 million in the box office receipts worldwide. In 2016, the media website Coming Soon named the film's opening scene one of the greatest in horror film history.
I second that.
And despite its title, the film is unrelated to the 1952 film of the same name.
Oh, there's another one. Huh. I see. I think I knew that.
Let's see. What did Carl Urban do?
Carl Urban is in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, well, I've never watched Lord of the Rings.
Sam, our fans do.
What fans?
I don't know. I hope this... we have them, and if so, I'm going to assume that they've seen Lord of the Rings movies, and he is, shit, I can't ever freaking remember his goddamn name. He's only in, like, the second and third movie.
Well, anyway, at this point, I'm deliberately refusing to watch Lord of the Rings.
It's not bad.
I just feel like I missed my window for it 20 years ago.
Your window may come again soon. Maybe.
It almost came in high school when my high school boyfriend was super offended that I had never seen it. But even then, I just refused to watch it. It's kind of like people who haven't seen Titanic. At this point in your lives, you're making a deliberate choice not to see Titanic.
Yes, exactly. Hey, I love Titanic. I used to watch it shit all the time. With Lord of the Rings, I actually watch that, like, Luke and I watch it every, like, Christmas or every winter. Just, like, annually we watch it. Because we like it so much.
It's nice.
But so, we do not watch Star Wars. Or at least I don't like to watch it for fun. Because I hate it so much.
Well, anyway, after that controversial statement, let's get into ghost ship. So, acting was very early 2000s for me. I was really shocked to see Emily Browning.
Yeah, she was just a baby. She's all grown up now, though.
I know, and you're probably fetishizing her right now.
Love Emily Browning.
Just like James Charles fetishizes straight men. Topical humor.
Yeah, but anyway, Emily Browning was in like a couple other horror movies after this one.
Yeah, like A Series of Unfortunate Events.
No.
Yes.
Not. I didn't even think about that one. I wouldn't call that a horror movie per se. More like a children's movie.
I mean, it is a children's movie, but I classify it as under maybe children's horror.
What's so scary about it? What happens?
They almost die like 5 times. I don't know.
Oh, shit. Well, she's in The Uninvited, which is actually a horror movie. And she's also in a movie called Magic Magic, which is an indie horror movie where people die. Oh, shit. Sorry, Sam. Just like so mean. Haven't you seen The Uninvited?
I've seen The Uninvited.
Yeah. I think that's on like, I think it's on HBO and Netflix right now, which is like awesome. I fucking love that shit. I'll watch that at any time. It's so goddamn entertaining. Because that twist is like insane.
It's currently on Netflix if you have a subscription, which be real, everybody has a subscription.
Because you can't watch anything on Netflix without it. You can't just rent stuff like Amazon. Yeah, so definitely watch The Invited. I definitely recommend it. It is fabulous. Fabulous psychological thriller / horror movie.
Which, speaking of psychological thrillers, this was originally supposed to be one before the early 2000s happened.
Huh. Yeah, I guess I don't really know how I could see that playing out.
Ghost Ship first emerged in January 1996 as Chimera, a spec script by Mark Hanlon. The script was relatively bloodless psychological thriller rather than a vivid supernatural horror film. Most notably, much of the film's gore is absent from the screenplay. The film would have focused on the 4 members of a salvage crew who end up stranded aboard a ghost vessel they are scuttling. Over the course of one night, each member, due to panic, cabin fever, or supernatural forces, goes insane and plots to kill the other 3.
Huh. Interesting.
What
did you say you thought that was, like cabin fever? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in this version of the script, Murphy was the main killer. And the the ship runs into some rocks and begins to sink. Murphy and Epps survive until nearly the end, but as the ship sinks, Murphy goes off to retrieve the gold. The weight of the gold and the time he loses getting to it leads to his demise. As in the film, Katie helps Epps escape. Over time, the script underwent rewrites, and the psychological aspects of the film were all jettisoned in favor of making the film a slasher.
Hey, I like how it turned out. I wouldn't change it. Actually, I have no qualms with anything that happens.
I mean, after I really liked this when I was younger, but revisiting it for the first time in 20 some years.
Yeah.
I'm not that old, 15 years. it's definitely a product of the early 2000s horror genre.
Oh yeah, it definitely is.
Which I look back and realize that before Saw happened,
yeah,
horror movies had like this weird interbreeding going on with action elements.
Huh.
Like, yeah. I mean, I guess Freddy versus Jason was it was around the same time as Saw, but that definitely had action elements. Jason X had a lot of action. And the entire time I was watching this, I was like, this movie really reminds me of 13 Ghosts. And it's from the same director as 13 Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Which, not surprising, these are the only 2 movies he's ever directed.
Huh. Not bad.
I mean,
not bad for just the two. I mean, at least they're good. Decent. I have not seen 13 Ghosts. Actually, I may have, but it's been so long that I forgot everything about it.
It's got Matthew Lillard in it.
Yeah, I remember him. The only thing I remember about that movie is when that guy dies because the glass cuts him in half.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all I got. That's all I remember.
Do you have anything to say about the acting?
Everything is fabulous. Everybody's acting is as good as I would think it should be because they're all scared and freaked out because they're on a ship that's like haunted, and they're all pretty much reacting apart from the one black guy who needs to be more freaked out when he hallucinates hardcore about the ship getting all cleaned up and like modern. But other than that, everybody pretty much performs very well. I'm looking at your notes, not mine. Sorry.
I have notes, so don't look at them.
I do too. I have a lot to say, but I don't have much bad stuff to say because this is a great movie and I will never say anything bad about it. I haven't found anything wrong with it. As the whole time the stakes are high and first time watching it, if you're a first time watcher, this film there, you have no idea that it's Farrier who's the bad guy until he becomes the bad guy. And you're fucking shook. And that's a great twist because you don't expect him to be a demon guy, but it makes sense because Katie's a ghost, you know? And yeah, so it's really, really cool. The gold thing, every element, they all tie each other together well, and nothing is kind of lost in the plot. And so that works well. It's not like the gold was like a random thing. Like the gold, everything that happens in the movie is like more motivation for them to do what they're doing. And sometimes new movies just don't have that kind of motivation anymore, you know?
I know.
Sam, are you listening? God damn.
Listen.
What are you doing? Listen. I fucking know when you're doing that shit.
Doing what shit?
You're fucking on the computer, aren't you?
No shit, I'm on the computer. We're recording.
I know what you're
doing. Listen, this week is a big week for the drama. You've got James Charles doing shit and...
James Charles.
Any moment.
Who's James Charles?
Any moment now, Jeffree Star is going to come out with his tea, and James Charles is going to lose another 3 million subscribers in 24 hours. James Charles is a YouTube beauty guru who thinks he's special because he's a boy who wears makeup. And, like, it's 2019. I don't think that's anything exciting or groundbreaking after, you know, people like David Bowie and Prince and Boy George and even problematic fave Jeffree Star paved the way for boys to wear makeup for the last 40 years.
Yeah. Jeffree Star. I remember when Jeffree Star like still did music.
I know. Like it was really confusing for me when people started talking about Jeffree Star as like a beauty guru. And I'm like, don't you mean like the guy who made shitty MySpace music?
Yeah, and I was like, don't you mean like the guy? I'm like, does he have a new album out? No, just makeup. And I was like, oh, well, you know, he's a musician first, right? But those kids, they don't know. They're too young.
Kids these days.
Fucking young.
I'm pretty sure I had a Jeffree Star song for my MySpace profile song way back.
Dude, I think we all did at one point. Going back to the acting, since you were discussing that this is totally a product of the early 2000s, like, can't you tell by how they, like, talk to each other? Just, like, the stupid shit they say to each other. Definitely. And it's, like, not funny anymore, but it was then.
Yeah, and I'm not – whenever the acting is awkward and not good, I'm not holding it against them because based on what I read on Wikipedia, I guess the cast all signed on when it was – still the original draft of the script, so I'm guessing with all the rewrites you get this awkward early 2000s lingo.
Yeah, they're just too confused because they're like, I don't know what genre this is, so I'm just gonna go with it.
This isn't the movie I signed up for.
Right, but they're like, I'm gonna do my best anyway. So that's cool. And they all do have like their kind of separate little like personalities, I guess, and they all work well together. I feel like if it were a little bit of a longer movie, we could get a little bit more development with the characters. We do see like their pasts are discussed a little bit, but not quite enough for me to care about their relationships with each other. Like how Epps is like Murphy's daughter, quote unquote, and like, you know, the one guy, Dodge, is in love with Epps. Don't know why, you know what I mean? And so like stuff like that goes on. And
again, that's a weird byproduct of these early 2000s exactly. movies, especially if a script went through however many rewrites this one went through.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and that's just what you get. But you know, it's as good as it can be, and it's fun to watch and spooky. So there's that. Because spooky stuff does happen. Like shit just kind of catches you off guard.
Yeah, no, it has a lot of good visual horror elements to it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's just sometimes I feel like it was confused on what it wanted to be. I will say though, I remember being put off ramen noodles for quite a while as a kid after watching this, because even today I don't like to eat them in the long string forms, the crappy packet ramen, because I don't like the cup of noodles. So I break them up and then microwave them. And it kind of looks like the maggots that they were eating.
Oh, dude. And like that's like a good example of like, I didn't know that was going to fucking happen when they were eating that food. I thought it was good to go. Shit just gets you, you know? And I'm just like, wow, that's really cool. It's just extra stuff to make you freaked out because you're like, shit, this food's really good. We can't eat it though because it's rotten food, so we're gonna die faster if we don't get off the boat. You know, like more little things, all those little scary details kind of like add to the motivation of them, like either wanting to get off the boat with the gold or just wanting to get off the boat to survive. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of have to decide. Because the gold is a huge motivation because they all kind of live like a shit life and they're just like the garbage crew of the ocean. You know, and they're kind of, you know, not given people like don't take them seriously. And that is why they want the gold so much. And they're so excited when they see it.
Wouldn't this constitute as a form of grave robbing, though?
Yeah. Guess it would. It's weird because, well, they do discuss that whenever you know there's a, they say like the specifics, and they say when a vessel's lost at sea, if you're like there to like, you know, take the vessel and there's something on it and it's unclaimed, then it's yours to have by right of like the sea or like by maritime law. And I'm pretty sure that's true.
Maybe it's not true anymore.
But
it wouldn't have been true in 2002 because there was this whole debacle going on with the Titanic and explorers taking shit off the Titanic and people debating whether or not they should at least say, hey, don't do that. It's grave robbing.
Well, the Titanic was sunk, though. This vessel that they're on was not. I don't know if that makes a difference.
I don't think so because people are still dead. It's still their graves.
Yeah, their ghost grave. But okay, and that can bring us a little bit into the plot of the film where like don't you think it's so scary when you find a ship that's just afloat and there's no one on it? How spooky is that? How terrifying. No bodies, no mummified corpses anywhere, no bones, just like they disappeared.
I believe Kate was a bag of bones.
Yeah, she might have been like the only body that like was found. Well, except for the bodies in the laundry chute, that too. But like there are, you know, like stories about like ships that were just adrift and all the passengers just were not there when the ships were found. And it's so mysterious. And I'm glad that like they kind of went for it here, because that's a really scary thing. You can't deny it. Scarier than a haunted house. For sure. Just because it's more people.
The original idea for this movie was to create The Shining, but on a boat. And I very much got that even with this final draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of like being stuck somewhere and like losing your shit. And I totally get that too. That's actually a great comparison. Only in Ghost Ship, they make the ghosts like way more in your face. And with The Shining, it's just kind of implied that like there is just bad shit that happened in the hotel. Bless you.
Sorry, I've been sick.
How are you feeling?
I feel fine. I've got like just phlegm stuck in the back of my throat now, so
yeah, it's like on its way out.
Trying. Yeah. It's trying.
It's trying. But hey.
It's doing its best.
I know. But that was a very good comparison. I should write a blog post about that. The Ghost Ship. Not versus, but Ghost Ship and The Shining, why they're similar and why they're different.
Who writes blog posts?
I don't know, man. I really like have it written in my planner to do it, and I just haven't fucking done it. The only reason I haven't done it is because I have to like watch the movie first, but I keep like not watching any TV at all for some reason.
Not to change the subject, but this is a good tweet from the Book of Lies podcast. Anyone think if Jon Snow would have laid down that D for Dany, we would have had a different episode 5?
I know, because remember she tried to like kiss him and he was like, I love you.
He just can't get over the fact that she's his aunt.
Well, maybe Bran shouldn't have told him and then it would be a different story. But Bran had a good fucking tell Jon.
Maybe the writers were not bad at doing this.
Wait, did Bran tell John or did Bran tell Sam, and did Sam tell John? Yeah, I think it was Sam. Well, if Sam would have kept his fucking mouth shut.
Sam is doing his best.
I know, he didn't know.
He just wants...
He didn't know he would change history.
You know what? Sam deserves the Iron Throne, and I'm going to throw that out there right now.
He's so pure. He's the best character. He's so smart.
Who?
And he's brave because he killed a white... just a white, but he did it. He done it. Dragonglass. He knows everything. Everyone else is like real dumb compared to him because he reads books.
Sam's the only one who should be on the Iron Throne.
It's the bitches. He already has a queen and a son.
Mm-hmm.
And another one on the way.
I don't know how this is gonna end.
I last night I told you that I Luke and I devised a theory where everybody kills themselves.
I mean, that could work.
I mean, it was just a funny thought, but what if it happened? I honestly think that like nothing is going to be a shock to anybody, and like what is probably going to happen is it's going to be played out that Jon will kill Daenerys and he'll take the throne, although he doesn't want it.
I mean, that might not be the worst thing. I could see like Arya trying to kill her and then he's like, no, you can't. She's my queen. And then he cuts off Dany's head. The only thing I have to go on for Dany's ending is Emilia Clarke said in an interview is that her final scene as Dany really fucked her up. I used to think,
maybe she just fucking kills everybody.
Maybe with that wildfire stuff.
What if she kills Jon and everyone's wrong? Yeah. Or just with her dragon.
I mean, the way I see it, either Jon dies or Jon becomes, you know, like the Queen of England, where she's a figurehead and everybody loves her, but behind the scenes, it's other people kind of making the plans. So you got Bran as the Hand of the King, or better yet, Sam as the Hand of the King. And then you got Sansa ruling the North, and then Arya as head of military.
Yeah, like...
But you know what? That makes too much fucking sense, so the writers aren't going to do it.
Exactly. Thank you. Because people are like, people are like going too hard with the Arya riding away on a white horse type situation where they're like, oh, well, in this one piece of art, there's a man on a white horse and he's slaying a dragon. I was like, you really think they thought of that? Because you thought of it, they didn't.
They probably have George R. R. Martin's handwritten notes from 1997. And they're like, okay, well, he didn't develop any character, so I guess we don't have to.
Right.
Like, I'm still pissed about how Cersei, because I guess she is confirmed dead. I'm still pissed about how that.
She's confirmed dead, and so is Jaime. Like,
you have two story arcs involving her getting stabbed. You have Jaime's redemption arc, and then you have Arya's revenge arc. And
just thrown out the window.
Yeah. In a way, I guess Jaime did kind of kill her because they got trapped underground.
Yeah. But yeah, they did.
I kept waiting for when Jaime and Cersei reunited, I was like, oh, he's going to stab her and the baby.
I was like, okay, when's it going to happen? When's he going to do it? And then he just fucking like is like, no, I'm going to hug you. I was like, God damn it.
I was waiting for the plot twist where it wouldn't actually be Jaime, it would be Arya wearing his like face.
Me too. I was like, who wants to bet she takes his face? No, it's almost like they forgot she has that ability.
She did it once last season, and she hasn't done it since.
God damn it! I'm just really frustrated because Arya could do some real cool shit, and they're like, "Oh, Arya just rode all the way to King's Landing, and she's gonna go all the way back home for fucking no reason. She didn't do anything." Oh my god. She's lucky to be the only survivor in the fucking city. Damn.
Yeah, Dany didn't really give herself much of a people to rule, did she?
Yeah, now when I like watch this, I'm probably one of the many that think this, but I'm sure it's like obviously it's wrong, but like everybody in Westeros is like dead now,
basically,
right?
I miss Lord Baelish.
Me too. I was actually pretty upset about that because he was like a lawful neutral.
Like Game of Thrones,
just doing what he wanted to do for the realm, the good of the realm, dude. That's what
Game of Thrones
said.
Is supposed to be a smart political thriller, and it's just since they went off the source material, it's just gone downhill.
Downhill.
I guess I might actually read the books, even though I'm not like into fantasy.
Yikes. Good luck to you. Luke actually stopped reading because they were so boring.
I'm like interested by fantasy. I would love to write my own fantasy series, but like it's too much damn work. Why create a world when this world exists?
You should. Anyway, back to Ghost Ship.
It's a ship with ghosts.
Very spooky. Because could you imagine if you were on a ghost ship, like how spooky that would be? And if you actually were stuck because your other boat blew up. Oops. Oops, it blew up. That was one hell of a...
This movie was pivotal to me as a third grader because it was the first time I realized that horror movies always end with a final girl. Yeah.
They do.
With the exception of 1980s The Hitcher, the original one.
Does everybody die?
No, he's a final boy.
Oh, huh. That's very interesting. Yeah, definitely ends with a final girl. And the ending is actually, you know what? I'm going to add that three of the coolest scenes I've ever seen would have to be like the beginning, the middle, and the end.
So the whole movie.
Not much in between. Three. But yes, obviously... everybody loves the beginning of Ghost Ship. Even if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you've seen the clip of the intro floating around because it's so cool and gruesome and so clever. Wow. What a great kill.
Yeah, no. No. What I said is true. No matter how you feel about this movie, you can't deny that the opening of it is iconic.
You can't deny it is iconic and it's so well done because everything about the scene, like the atmosphere, the music, even the introduction to the movie makes you think, like when I first saw this movie way back in the day and you put the DVD in, I put the DVD in and I was like, did we get the right movie? This is supposed to be scary. You know what I mean? And then all the pink font and shit, ghost ship, you know, But
and they said in the IMDb trivia, apparently they decided to do that to make it more authentic, like you're watching a documentary, which is bullshit because most documentaries don't start with opening credits.
I know. It's actually, I was like, what? I was like, I've seen a couple of documentaries, but I know they're pretty recent, but I don't know if they do anything like that with opening credits.
Like, I think they just meant this movie from the 1960s because it is that Marvelous Mrs. Maisel font that everybody fucking hates.
Yeah, but like that totally makes so much sense because it is very, you know, like true to the era if they're trying, if it was the 60s. Plus, it's an Italian liner, so... even more swishy and pink, the better.
I just want to apologize to everyone. I've brought up to David multiple times, we need to WD-40 my chair, and it's just not happening.
What kind of chair are you sitting in? Like a wooden chair? Like a rolly chair? No,
I'm sitting in my computer chair. It's just squeaky.
I see.
That's the most editing I do for the podcast is eliminating my chair squeaks.
That's fine. I barely noticed your chair squeaks until you just told me about them. Now I will constantly notice them. Thanks.
Good. I need your constant attention.
Anyway, let's discuss the second best scene in the movie. Whenever Katie shows Epps her memories of the night she dies and like all that crazy shit that happens on the boat. Like, what the fuck kind of wild shit is that? Holy shit.
I like the scene. I don't like the music choice. And when I texted you earlier while watching this, that's what I meant when I said, wow, this movie really is early 2000s because it's like this rap song.
Oh, no, it's not a rap song. It's called...
it's an R&B song?
No, it's called My Little Box. It's an alternative song by... I bought it. I bought the whole album so I can have that song because I like it so much. It's called My Little Box by John Frizzell. And if you want to buy that song, you like can't get it unless you buy the whole Ghost Ship soundtrack. Yeah.
Well,
I went there.
I didn't care for it.
That's totally fine because it's like not great. But
it's a product of its time.
God damn it.
I'm a big fan of irony, so I would have personally kept the scene the same, but maybe used the song that they were dancing to at the beginning of the movie.
Senza Fine.
That slow 60s.
The Italian ballad called Senza Fine, yeah.
Yeah, just because I like that kind of juxtaposition.
Yeah, I love that shit too. When they do that in movies, like have like a real crazy fucking chaotic bloody scene and it'll be like a very gentle, you know, somber music. Instead of like fucking bad, I like Disturbed, like and heavy bass, but yeah, I totally, yeah, I get it, and I'm like that mostly, but like once I heard that song, dude, that was it.
And I on the subject of movie soundtracks, I like genuinely miss movie soundtracks because I feel like,
oh yeah,
they just don't exist anymore. Case in point, I don't know if you've watched it yet, but Assassination Nation.
Oh no, I have not.
It has a really great soundtrack, so I tried to find it on Apple Music, but they have it, but it's just the orchestrated music made for the movie, not the like pop songs used in it. And I was like, no, I want this fucking Sia song.
Yeah, it's like, I want the fucking movie playlist, okay?
That's a good movie. That's what I wanted The Purge to be.
Assassination Nation. Okay, yeah, definitely look into that.
It's on Hulu.
Hulu. Oh, fabulous. Okay, cool. I'll definitely get on that. Let's discuss the ending here, okay? I haven't discussed the best part of this fucking movie.
The naked
my love
Italian
affair.
Woman.
Huh?
The naked Italian woman.
Oh, God. That really throws you for a loop, too, because nobody knew that shit was coming. Like, she was all naked and young, but then she turned old and naked. And we're like, whoa.
I don't get why she turned old. She died young.
And maybe her personality was ugly. She was a traitor. Remember, she shot that guy.
I mean, I guess if they're trying to allude to The Shining in some aspects of this movie, it kind of makes sense since the hot naked chick in The Shining turns into an old ugly chick.
Yeah, the witch. That's actually another great point. Wow, that really does parallel that a lot. Holy crap. I didn't think about that at all. But yeah, she gets her ass killed. Maybe she looks ugly because she's marked.
Maybe.
And Katie's not marked. That's why she looks so cute and young. Because she's untainted by Satan. Or farrier, I guess.
It makes sense that the Italian woman's marked by Satan if she's having premarital sex.
Oh, yes. And she kissed a demon. But yeah, we can discuss Desmond Harrington and my great deep love for him and how underused he is. Like, goddamn, put him back in a horror movie, people. What are you doing? He's such an untapped, spooky guy, and they just put him in Dexter, and that's not scary at all. Just put him in a scary movie.
He was in The Neon Demon, but I don't like The Neon Demon, yes. So.
That's on my list to watch just because he's in it. And he is like a shaved head, and he's super hot no matter what.
I'll be interested to hear your opinions on The Neon Demon, because I like some of some aspects, but it's one of those movies where they're like, it'll be deeper if you take 5-second pauses between every single line you say. So it's just, it's unnecessarily slow. If they picked up the pace a little bit, I would have liked it a lot more.
See, okay, well, that's on. Isn't that on Hulu?
It's
on. Well,
it's in America. It's Amazon Prime exclusive.
Oh, okay, so, I will.
And it does have Keanu Reeves in it, so
that's
fucking delightful.
But let's talk about the end of the movie when we think that she saved the day and she got all those souls off the boat, which she did, but. The gold is back, and so is Farrier. Oh, shit. And then it fucking ends with that shit Mudvayne song. Ugh. That shows the age right there. It's in the early 2000s when Mudvayne was cool. I feel your pain because I did not care for that. Although it was a cool ending where it's kind of a hardcore, we're not done yet. And there could be a sequel. Thank God they didn't make a sequel.
And they wanted to, but...
glad that never happened.
The years directly following 9/11 for horror were really weird. I should just watch the 2001 to 2003 right before Saw, see what horror movies were like in those years.
Yeah. I know, right? What was even around? What horror movies were of those years? I mean, yeah, please Google that for me and let me know.
Horror movies of two. Oh, Jeepers Creepers, The Others.
The Jason Others. X. That movie is fucking wild. That movie has one of the biggest twists you'll ever see in a movie. I'm telling you right now. But I'm not going to tell you what the twist is unless you go watch
Arachnid,
it.
Arachnid, Route 666, Valentine. I need to rewatch Valentine. Wendigo.
I've not seen that. Wendigo.
Wishmaster 3.
I never saw those, but I remember them existing. So
that's how I feel about a lot of movies. This was a huge franchise with 8 movies, and I don't know it.
Wishmaster.
Oh, The Hole. Is this what I'm thinking of? Is this the movie I'm thinking of? Or
what else? Yes.
The Hole is a really good one.
Okay, what else is there? Keep going.
2002 would probably be a better year because a lot of these would have been in a development before 9/11. Let's see. Wait. Let's see. Ring came out. Resident Evil came out 28 Days Later, which I think is very fitting for the post 9/11 world. I still haven't seen it. It's been on my watch list for ever. 28 Days
Later. Wait, what is it? I still haven't seen that either.
Cabin Fever.
It literally...
Classic.
Classic.
The Mothman Prophecies. Halloween Resurrection. Another good example of early 2000 horror movies going with a weird action direction in the final third act.
Yeah, isn't Resurrection with that guy?
No, not Paul Rudd. That's this. That's 6. This one is the one with Ludacris
and the house. No.
I could easily click on it, but I'm
more Gangster than LL Cool J. It's fucking. You know what?
Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes. I was like, he's got a weird name, and if I think about it, I'll like. And he says,
"Trick or treat, motherfucker." You have him coming in and karate chopping Michael Myers.
Yeah, he does.
You have Queen of the Damned.
Ooh, Aaliyah before she died.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Anyway.
Ooh, a lot of vampire movies.
Yeah, another Wishmaster movie, goddammit.
Wishmaster? Like Puppet Master, but better or worse? I don't know.
I have all the Puppet Master movies on TV. I don't have Strike, but if you're looking for really weird, obscure horror movies, just go to 7-Eleven and check out what they have. Because that's what I do sometimes.
Hell yeah.
Dark Water. Why does that sound familiar?
Ooh, Dark Water. Is that a shark movie?
It's a Japanese horror movie, so probably not. It's probably actually good.
Not another shark movie.
Touched on the production of Ghost Ship and how it's very early 2000s. And after listing off all the movies that came out right before and the same year as it, you can see what I mean by that.
Oh, yeah. So what do you say about the effects of this movie? Because I think that the CG, when used, isn't very messy.
Effects-wise and gore-wise, this movie's really good. Like, I don't think the opening scene would be remembered as fondly as it is if it wasn't well designed.
Damn right. So cool. Especially another great death, apart from all the deaths in the beginning, would have to be one of my favorites is Francesca, obviously, because she gets the fucking hook thing in her jaw, which is fucking gruesome. And they actually show her face. It's not like an off-screen kill. Like, she is hung from it off screen and you see her going back and forth, but then they like definitely like do a close up on her face, and it's pretty cool, pretty badass.
But somehow she turns into an old lady.
She does. It's because she's Mark, dude. He touched her hand and she had the little hook.
Or thing. Maybe she didn't actually die when the hook went through her jaw and she just aged naturally while hanging there.
Wow, that would be a much worse death.
Didn't think about that.
Wow, I really did. I really need to think harder about this movie.
You do.
And how it's pretty much the exact same movie as The Shining, but on a boat.
It is. Like,
which pretty much it is, right?
I didn't realize how many similarities with this movie there was with The Shining.
I know. I'm pretty shocked at all of them, because there really are a lot, and it's making me think about stuff a lot more. Anyway, I don't have really any more notes other than the fact that this movie fucking rules. And if you haven't seen it, I don't give a fuck who you are. Go watch
it. It's a fun little romp.
It's great. Yeah, it's a fun little
romp. Unlike season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Ugh, God, that's just like a chore. And it's like really long, so it's like a super long chore.
I think at this point, the people complaining are just watching out of obligation.
That's big. That, like, I can't stop now, especially when there's just the one episode next week, so I just have to finish it. Like, seriously. Anyway, let's discuss the realistic aspects of this movie, because they're the ton.
Boat accidents.
Yeah, that's scary. Being stuck on a ship lost at sea. Now that's scary.
Little girls.
Yeah. The ghosts of them.
Fucking terrifying.
She's benevolent, so she's fine. Being on a ship where everyone gets massacred in fucked up ways and you can't do anything about it because you're just there trying to fucking enjoy yourself. Could you imagine? Just trying to fucking enjoy yourself on the cruise ship that's all fancy and just get fucking shot by like a machine gun and fall into the pool and die. God. Huge eye roll. Anyway, trying to save people by killing the demon man, but he keeps coming back to life. What did you think? What did you think would happen? Anyway, A++. This really fucked me up the first time I saw it, and I enjoy watching it anytime. I just didn't watch it this time because I watched it recently, so I don't want to watch it again. I don't need to watch it to know every moment. I could just, it's like one of those movies that I've seen so many times, I could sit here and imagine the whole movie and it'll just play through in my head. It's one of those deals. And I do like to watch it like once a year.
Yeah, I think we all have those horror movies that we like to watch.
Yes. On occasion. Yes. I'm actually shocked that like every time we like go to pick a movie, it's like a good one.
Yeah.
It keeps happening. So
I'm scared. The randomizer has really been in our favor lately.
Jesus, you mean?
You're
Jesus
right.
Is a randomizer.
Jesus has been kind to us recently.
Yeah, he has. Who knows how long this kindness streak will last. You'll never know until our next mini show when we choose another one, and it might be great or it might be shitty. Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But that's all I got. I have nothing more to add.
Neither do I, accept a preemptive apology. If this episode is late, I'm going to a bachelorette party weekend. So.
Oh, shit. That's right. That's this weekend.
Yeah, that's why I actually wanted to record on the day of when we're supposed to record. Like the day we're supposed to record today. Instead of pushing it back.
Yeah. I was like, that's today.
We're supposed to record every Monday. Sometimes that doesn't work.
Yes. But it's okay if it doesn't work when it's like a little one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so short. But the big ones.
It's like a poop.
Yeah. It is like a poop. Exactly like a poop. All right.
All right.
Well, if you're ready, I got the outro notes set up.
All right. Read that shit. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. Sam, what did we learn today from watching this movie?
Jeffree Star had a failed music career.
Oh, yeah. You're telling me. Luckily for him, he has like a multi-million dollar cosmetic line. So not everyone can just do that, but I guess makeup's the new thing to
get your money fast. I have theories about that, but we'll get into it on our next mini show.
It next time, yeah, because we'll be discussing that on our next mini show, as well as the season finale forever of Game of Thrones. It'll be dead forever.
I'm writing this shit down so I don't forget.
Like what you hear, you can find A Real Horror Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear, follow us on Twitter at horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Anyway, want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something, or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Submissions are open for movie reviews, so please send them in. Check out the submit page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. Scroll down. We post written reviews. Never. You know what? We're going to do the old switcheroo, and it's going to be audio only, you guys. We love horror, and if you're listening, you do too. Please help us keep our project going by visiting our support page on our website, where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. We also have an Amazon wish list if you feel like buying us something tangible will help convey your love more than a monetary donation would. Buy us a coffee. And click the link to buy us a coffee. Submission. Yeah, please do, because I haven't been to Starbucks in forever, and they have the s'mores frappuccino, and really dying for a s'mores frappuccino. Help me get another cavity. All right. Submissions are open for our yearly anthology called The October Monologues. Check out the submission guidelines on our website and send us your creepy shit. Any other pertinent news? Nah, I got nothing. Sam is going away for the weekend. I will be busy this weekend as well, dealing with wedding stuff. And she's also dealing with wedding stuff, but not the same wedding, which is kind of funny and cool. Anyway, our outro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Colton. And thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening.
Bye. Not gonna say bye?
Bye.